Dear friends, so Lent has arrived. Today we celebrate the first Sunday of Lent. And it's good to ask, has everyone figured out what their Lenten practices will be? If you have, awesome. If not, that's okay. What I'd like to focus on first is just a few things about our Lenten practices, our Lenten penances, just for a brief moment, because our giving up of something or our taking on of certain things, right? As good as they are, sometimes they can be, they can become disconnected from their true purpose, right? The whole purpose of Lent is this. The whole purpose is to return to God with a repentant and a converted heart, okay? To return to God with a repentant and with a converted heart. To love God and love our neighbor, right, more. So if we reach Easter, right, and we have grown in our love for God and our love for neighbor, that's what a successful Lent should look like. So if our Lenten penances do just that, right, if they help us to grow in love of God and love of neighbor, those are the penances that we want to choose, okay? So for example, you know, if a person, I don't know who would do this, but some probably have tried, if you know, our Lenten practice, say someone decides to sleep on the ground as penance, right? Yet they become angry and tired and they're quarrelsome with everyone they meet. That penance has become not only just a great suffering for that person, but also a great suffering for those around them, okay? Take another, okay? The classic giving up caffeine for Lent, okay? I've known people that have done this. I've known priests that have done this, and it ain't pretty, okay? So you can probably think of priests I've lived with in the past that have tried this. Not good, right? So if a person can do that, if you're doing that, and if you can exercise heroic charity, all power to you. That's awesome, okay? Maybe it's a good idea in that case. But if I give up caffeine, if I don't drink coffee and I'm snappy and I have headaches and withdrawals, okay, I become a bear to others. Obviously, that penance, you see, has failed to accomplish its goal, okay? So the key is don't choose mortifications that mortify others, right? Okay? Don't choose penances that make me a penance for other people, right? So the whole goal, see, and if we do that, our penances become disconnected from their true purpose, right? The whole purpose is this, is conversion of heart. Our Lenten penances, whatever we are giving up or whatever we're taking on, should do that, should bring about a conversion of heart. And like I mentioned on Ash Wednesday, if I can say no to something good, that's the other thing, is we shouldn't like give up things that are inherently bad. We should just not do them at all, right? But we give up the penances as we are saying no to something that is legitimately good. Why? If I can say no to something that's good, it makes me much stronger to say no to temptation, to say no to evil, okay? So everything grows in the spiritual life, everything grows together, okay? Our love of God, our love of neighbor grows when we're doing penance and when we're praying and when we're really living our faith, right? So that's kind of the measuring rod or the measure, okay? If we arrive at Easter and I have grown in my love of God and grown in my love of neighbor, then that is a successful Lent. That's what it looks like, and that's who we are created to be. That's why we do penance. So just to switch gears for a moment, talk about something a little bit more serious. I mean, not that Lent is not serious, but Adam and Eve in our first reading today, okay, they had everything given to them by God for their own happiness, right? God provided that for them. Yet when Eve was tempted, she chose to do it her way rather than God's way, right? And ultimately, that's what we do whenever we sin. We choose to do things our way rather than God's, and we break communion with him, And Adam, you will see in Genesis, follows suit. So immediately what happens is they feel guilt. Right after they have sinned against God and they have broken their friendship with God, they feel this guilt that they have turned from God. And notice that it's only after they sin do they recognize that they are naked. Okay. Only after they sin do they, now they find the need to hide themselves from God, hide themselves from one another. Because with original sin comes this isolation and shame and brokenness, right? So one thing that needs to come to light, right, among all the threats in our world, there is one that, you know, we must face today, and that is the epidemic of pornography, okay? Just going to say that word one time for younger ears. Whenever I refer to the darkness, you know what I'm talking about, okay? So, this is the issue for our times, okay? This is the issue for our families and our culture and our marriages, right? I mean, but it's also, the effect is much deeper. So, one of the effects of the fall of Adam and Eve is this, is that with sin, when sin enters the world, disorder enters the world, okay? So the way that Adam and Eve relate to God, the way that they relate to one another, the way that they relate even to their own selves and their own bodies, okay, is broken. There's a disorder that enters into the world. It's significant that it's only after they sinned do they recognize that they are naked, okay? Because it's only after they sin is Adam and Eve able to objectify the other person, right? To see the other person not as made in the image and likeness of God and made for love, but they are able to see in the other person an object for my pleasure. An object of one's self-gratification, okay? So this is an effect, you know, of original sin that that in some way we all feel, right? We all feel in some respect, in some way, this brokenness, okay? In our thoughts and our desires, the way that a person looks at another or the way that a person desires to be looked upon, our interior impulses, our inclinations, our passions, right? The very nature of love, all of this was affected. All of this, in some sense, is there's a brokenness that we all live with. There's a brokenness in our human nature, right? So the modern phenomenon in the rampant production and consumption of the darkness, okay, it kind of speaks loud and clear to this wounded aspect of our human nature. Okay, so the reason that we mark today as Safe Haven Sunday, even it's also the beginning of Lent as well, is because we need to bring our problems to the light, bring our sins to the light, bring them to our Lord. It's kind of like when we go to the doctor, you know, we can't say, "Doctor, I want you to heal me, but I don't want to show you my wound." No. In order for us to be healed, we have to say, "Doctor, this is what's wrong with me," right? And so it's much easier, don't get me wrong, it's much easier just to leave it alone, to leave these conversations alone, to not talk about it, we all have some dark area in our life, you know, either from our past or some hurt or injury, some brokenness that we wish would go away, right? We all have it, right? And we wish as long as we just ignore it, it'll go away somehow. But we know that it doesn't. And so that's exactly what the devil wants us to do. Is just to pretend, okay, these problems or these sins or something like that, they're not there. It's no big deal. No one knows about them. It won't hurt anyone. But what does our Lord want to do? What does our Lord want to do? Our Lord wants to shine a light in those areas, in those dark areas of our life that we wish would just go away and we could ignore. Our Lord wants to shine his healing light and his mercy, especially in those areas, right? St. Paul, today in today's second reading, makes it clear that yes, he does say, yes, sin and death has entered the world, right? Sin and death has entered the world through one man, through the sin of Adam. Yes, that is true. But brothers and sisters, even more so has Jesus Christ come to bring about and has ushered in an era of grace, right? St. Paul says in another place, where sin abounds, grace abounds all the more. You see, friends, our Lord's life and his love can come to heal whatever that dark area is, whatever that is in our lives. If it is the darkness, our Lord wants to bring great healing there. Okay. What we're preparing to celebrate at Good Friday, the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ, he has already brought about the victory. He has already purchased for us grace, and he only waits to shower us with it if we but open ourselves and allow him to go to those areas and bring his mercy and bring his forgiveness to those areas in which we need it the most. So with this in mind, just a few things, a few ideas for our Lenten practices in this regard. The first is, parents, pledge to have some important conversations with your children. Okay, don't let fear or lack of knowledge keep you from this. Don't say that would never happen. Okay, that is what the devil wants us to believe. Okay. There's much more work to be done on prevention, right? On to do things ahead of time that we should really take very seriously. Talk about the media. Talk about the use of devices. All of our devices, whether we're kids or whether we're adults, we should have a filter on them, right? Because a lot of times this is stuff that comes to find us. Okay. So even if we're adults, we should still have a filter on all of our devices. Talk to your children about the purpose, about the beauty, the great beauty of human sexuality, the great gift of human sexuality. Talk to your spouse or talk to a friend. Talk to me. Come to me. If you want to, if you need help to start this conversation, I am 100% ears, 100% for you, okay? And also, I just want to offer, if this is your struggle, do not be afraid to talk to me, okay? I can and I will point you in the right direction, I promise. I am 100% ears, 100% open, and I want to help you in this matter, okay? So if you just need some guidance or you need help, Father, how do I start this conversation with my children or with my loved ones? Don't be afraid. The key is this. The key is to start the conversation. And the other thing is there's no need to be harsh, and there's no need to be condemning, okay? Even if you look at the Gospels, you look at when they bring the woman caught in adultery to him, he looks at her, and what does he say to her? He says, "Has no one condemned you? Neither do I condemn you." And then he says, "Go and sin no more," right? Go and yes, change your life. But he does not do so in a condemning way, and neither should we, right? There should be, in these conversations, there should be no shame involved, okay? No shame involved. We're all sinners, right? And we all should have a safe place to converse about these issues, converse about these problems, and receive healing, receive guidance, and receive mercy, okay? So these kind of conversations are hard enough, but they need to happen. The hiding, the isolation, the ignoring them, that must come to an end. We must be courageous, right? You know, it's no fun to preach about this, but it's darn necessary, right? And it takes great courage for us to address these issues and to make real progress in receiving healing. So this Lent, among all the other penances and practices that we undertake, let's make sure that they have their goal in mind. Let's make sure that they bring us to great love of God and our neighbor, and that they don't work against it, especially love of our neighbor, okay? But let's also commit ourselves to safeguarding, to protecting our homes and protecting our families, okay? This evil needs to be rooted out. We need to be protected from it. It needs to be out of lives and out of homes, right? But this can only happen with Jesus. With Jesus, human sexuality and love can be redeemed, can be healed. And with Jesus, any temptation can be overcome, no matter how great it seems Goliath is, right? However great that monster seems, that sin, that temptation, that addiction can be overcome by our Lord's healing mercy. For we live on every word that comes from his mouth. So let us worship and serve him alone. This Lent, let us live only for Jesus. May it be so. Amen.